The reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. You'll find it on page 990 in the Pew Bibles. Parable of the Wedding Banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go into the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing his wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Right, well, I don't know about you, but for me, one of the most enjoyable and delightful things to receive is one of these, a wedding invitation. When we have a wedding invitation, we expect a happy and joyful occasion, one of great celebration, often followed by a feast, a lovely meal. Marion and I will not be here this Christmas because my niece is getting married up in Stornoway on the 21st of December. So we're going up there and we'll be up there for Christmas. And it's something we're looking forward to. It'll be a great family occasion, a great get-together. This morning, we have here communion, a picture of a great feast. Something to remember and celebrate. And there's an invitation to come to this table and partake in the feast. But we'll come to that later, because the invitation to come to this table follows on from another invitation. In fact, the Christian faith itself is an invitation. An invitation to follow and walk with Jesus wherever he may lead us. We see that most directly in Jesus' invitation to those fishermen who became his first disciples. "Follow me," he said to them. "Come with me. Come and learn from me. Come and see the things that I will show you, and you will be blessed." It was an invitation to follow him. And that invitation is pictured again by Jesus in the parable that Andrew read for us just now. This time, Jesus tells of a wedding invitation. The king was going to have a marriage feast for his son. And so he sends out an invitation to those he would like to come. And you'd think they would be pleased to come. But when the day approaches and everything is in place, they don't want to come, or else they won't come. Ask them again, says the king. But instead of coming, they make excuses. I've got my farm to sort out. I must attend to my business. And some even attack the king's servants who were doing the inviting. But then we see a truly amazing thing. This king is not put off by the rejection of those he first invited. Instead, he's determined to go ahead with the wedding feast for his son and to see every place at the table filled. So he sends his servants out again. Go out and bring in anyone who will come in off the streets to be a guest at my wedding feast for my son. And so they go out into the streets, and all sorts of people accept the invitation. They turn up and enjoy the banquet. And those who come to the banquet are not just the wealthy landowners and the businessmen who rejected the invitation, but the normal everyday folk one sees on the street. Rich and poor, those fully able, those with disability, the clever and the not so clever, those who are happy, those who are sad, those who are going through life with few obvious problems, and those for whom life is a constant struggle and pain. All sorts of conditions of men and women and children accept the invitation and come to the wedding feast. Now, this parable is a picture of the gospel invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God that Jesus brought in when he ministered in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Those people in those days who called themselves God's people, the ones we might have expected to be invited, largely rejected the invitation. Not many Israelite movers and shakers accepted Jesus or his invitation while he was alive. But we read in the Gospels that the common people heard him gladly, and they gladly received him. Now, the Gospel, the good news that Jesus came as God himself to live as a man, to restore man's fellowship with himself through his death on the cross and his resurrection, is an invitation. Indeed, it is the great invitation to everyone in the world who will accept it and act on it. It's an invitation to be a part of what God is doing. It's an invitation to have your life transformed, to know Jesus personally and have direct fellowship with God, giving eternal meaning and purpose to your life. And the gospel invitation is an invitation to anyone and everyone. This is seen in what is probably the most important key verse in the whole of the Bible, John 3:16, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This verse tells you what God has done, that he sent his own Son, and invites you to believe in Jesus, to follow him and become a disciple of his, and so receive all that he has to offer, which is summed up in the phrase eternal life. But notice in particular in that verse the word whoever. It's an invitation that's open to everyone and anyone without limit. Just like we saw pictured in the parable of the wedding feast. And so it's an invitation to everyone here this morning. Many of you will already have responded to Jesus' invitation. But if you've not responded, if you've never responded before, then this is an invitation to you. For you to accept and become a part of the kingdom of God that he's building. A kingdom of transformed people, changed for the better. And put it its most simple, the simplest way that I can put it is that it's an invitation to know Jesus and to follow him wherever he may lead you. That's it. Get to know Jesus and follow him wherever he may lead you. Just like those first fishermen that Jesus said, follow me to. Follow Jesus and learn about him and learn from him. Because if you do that in all sincerity, it will transform your life forever. And you will only know that if you accept the invitation. So, Christianity is invitational. It comes as an invitation, which as we read through the Gospels, we see is repeated over and over again in many different ways. And the invitation is given to us, firstly, to accept ourselves, but secondly, to pass on to others. Just as those first disciples of Jesus passed it on, and they passed it on, and it has come all the way down to us, so that it is now delegated to us to pass on to our generation, to those we meet with every day in the street, at work, in the home, at shops, at play, wherever. We are now the king's servants in the parable, commissioned to go out into the highways and byways to help to fill the king's banquet. And we are to receive those who respond and help to lead them in the way to the feast. So then, if the invitation is for all, then we must openly receive all who come. And that will be a complete mix of people, as we saw just now. Now, the church is a unique organization for many reasons. But one of the unique things about it is that it is made up of all sorts of people from all types and kinds of backgrounds. Old and young, left and right, rich and poor, well and sick. They come from every nationality, every strata in society, and every background. You name it, and they will be there in the church. Now, there are not many organizations like that. I think that's a truly wonderful thing. I hope you do too. And of course, the thing that unites us all is that each member is on a journey with Jesus. And if Jesus has accepted them, so must we. And that's going to require some accommodation by us to see that they can comfortably fit in with us and we can fit in with them. And that fitting in and comfortably being together can take some doing. Let's think about the feast for a minute. At the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, when we read how Jesus is finally united in person with his people, the church, that coming together is pictured as a marriage feast in which the church is the bride and Jesus the groom, united at last. Every tribe and language and nation represented. Every seat at the table occupied by those who rejoice to be with Jesus. But for now, we have a more modest token feast as we gather as his people here around the Lord's table. And here we remember what is the basis of his invitation to us. Where we had drifted away from God and done what is right in our own eyes, God sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for all our wrongdoing and all our error by dying on the cross. And that was an act of love that we remember as he called us to do by gathering around this table and taking the bread and wine that remind us of his body and spilt blood on the cross, so that we never forget his great gift of love to us. Now, receiving all those whom Christ has accepted is sometimes not easy, partly because we all have different backgrounds and personalities ourselves. But that's precisely what Jesus calls us to do, to accept all those he has invited and that he has accepted. They come in, we all sit down and dine with them. And the question is, how do we respond to those coming in? Now, when we gather around the Lord's table each month, we often read the words from 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul repeats the words that Jesus gave when he introduced this meal and explained its meaning. But the context in which Paul repeated those instructions to the Corinthians was one of disharmony, of unloving behaviour of members in the church towards one another that was very unchristlike. Paul said, "When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not." And then he told them how it should be eaten in a more loving and God-honoring way. They were celebrating the Lord's Supper in the context of a fuller meal. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've done that on occasions in the past. But they were doing it in a way that showed no respect for their brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those who had less to give or to bring to the table themselves. Now, very sadly, some people's wedding celebrations do end up like that. But surely not when we gather as God's people, not either literally or metaphorically. You see, we can come to this table and sit round the table, despising in our hearts and minds some of those who sit around the table with us. I hope and pray that we don't. I hope and pray that we come as those united in Christ, united as the body of Christ, wanting to help and love every other person who is here with us, because that's what Jesus would want from us. The Apostle James points to something similar in his letter to the church. He writes to the church, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you will pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into the court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then you are doing well. So I say again, if Jesus invites and welcomes all who respond, then so should we. We're not to judge by outward appearance. Rather, we're each to look to ourselves to see that we are genuine, that we are in a right relationship with God and truly seeking to follow Jesus, doing what he would do. Only then can we be assured of our place and acceptance at the banquet. It's our relationship with Jesus that must be right. Not every detail of our life that we might feel unworthy about, but it's our relationship. Because if our relationship with Jesus is right, and we're really desirous to imitate him and make his ways our ways, then he will be changing us and putting the things we don't like right. And part of that change is seen in the desire that we must accept and relate properly to those others whom he calls, who might not otherwise be those we would associate and be with. You see, we're all on a path with Jesus. We're all a work in progress that's not yet complete. That we are all, though it may at times seem hard to believe, but we are all being transformed into his likeness of godly character and behaviour. And so we come to the Lord's table. And again, it's presented as an invitation. It can be seen as a command, do this and this, but it's also, and perhaps more deeply, can be read as an invitation. If you are with me, if you want to share in what I have to offer, then do this. Do it when you come together. Do it in remembrance of me. I'm inviting you to this small feast as a foretaste of what is to come, says Jesus, by way of invitation. Now finally, if you recall, the end of the parable ended with an incident that might come as a bit of a surprise. All the street people were gathered in and sitting down, ready to partake of the wedding feast. And the king came in and spotted one who'd come in under false pretenses. Now in those days, it was the custom to provide guests with a suitable garment for the wedding if they had none. And here was someone without a wedding garment. And the king had them thrown out. Now it's sad to say that some say they follow Jesus, but in their heart and their lives, they do not really do so. They're not actually followers, and they have not truly accepted the invitation and its offer of new clothes, a new life with Jesus. And Paul warns of that as he speaks to the church about the Lord's Supper. After he's told the Corinthians how they should conduct the Lord's Supper, he gives this warning. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood, the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. The one who is not really following Jesus knows that is the case themselves. We don't know, but they know, and so does the Lord. But Paul says, examine yourself. Put it right, or else decline taking the meal that says you're uniting yourself with Jesus. You see, the invitation is for everyone, including the person who has gone back on an earlier commitment. Renew your commitment to him if you've fallen back. Make a commitment to accept the invitation if you've never done so before. Pray to the Lord even now, accepting his invitation. And speak to someone here to tell them that you want to join in accepting Jesus' invitation to follow him all the way to the wedding feast, that they may pray with you, encourage you, and encourage you today. So let us come to this table as we remember our Lord's death and as we look forward to that great marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen. Now, as we take communion here, we're trying different ways of doing it. And we're going to try it slightly differently from the way we did last month. What we're going to do this morning is to, for those who are helping, are going to come and join me on the stage here. And then they're going to stand right the way across the front in pairs, one with the bread, one with the wine. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to come and take the bread and the wine by coming up through the center aisle here, taking the bread and the wine, and then going back to your seats when you've taken. Those of you in the gallery, I would like ask, if you like to partake in the meal, if you would come down during the next song to join us for the communion. And as we are trying different ways of doing it, we would also appreciate